This is a teaching from One Thing Ministries Singapore. For additional resources and information, please visit our website at www.onethingministries.net.
Yeah, today I just want to take some time to share about engaging God's heart, even in a time of crisis and responding with urgency. And so I was looking at the title of my message and I took out the crisis part because I say, God, is it really crisis that we are living in? Can I just entitle engaging God's heart and then responding? And I think that's where God really gave me the conviction that, like it or not, we are living in times of crisis, and we are living in an hour of escalating crisis and glory, and it will be like that till Jesus return. I think humanly, sometimes I wrestle with the Lord and say, wow, God, how do I live in crisis and with urgency every day? Is it really so? And truth be told, now is like barely 1 month plus after April 26. You know, April 26 is a date that Singaporeans remember because it was from DOSCON orange to DOSCON yellow and restrictions have been eased. And just, was it yesterday? The health minister was already saying, be prepared. July, August, there's going to be, some increase in some of this pandemic that's going on. And I'm sharing this, my own internal thoughts, because it's not to create fear, but to create that reality. Truly, we are living in times of crisis. We hear in nations and we're familiar. Down the road, gunshots. Down the road, bombs. It's like commonplace. And even in persecuted nations, you never know the knock on the door. Is it a friend or is it an enemy? Because of they know that you are believers of Jesus Christ. So when you really put your heart to the reality of the world we are living in now, it's really we're living in a time of escalating crisis. But that's not the end. It's also a time of escalating glory because God is like in a room. God is like bringing a dimming down of the light of the darkness, or rather increasing the darkness, dimming down of things so that the light will even shine even brighter. And it's really through these years that we hear more and more of God's promises. Even standing at this critical juncture, He say He's going to actualize it. And we see even greater expectation of what God is going to do, even in the hearts of believers. So, yeah, so I embrace this title that I've entitled, that is really engaging God's heart in times of crisis and responding with urgency. And the focus truly is not just on crisis, on glory, but the focus is really on the Lord. He's refining His people and unfolding His redemptive plan even here on earth. Yeah, so I just want to pray even as we engage our hearts with God even in this hour. God, we want to focus on You even as we talk about the unfolding crisis and glory. We want to engage our hearts with You and focus on the One sitting on a throne. The One who is seated above the crisis and the glory. You are in control. And this is our very confidence, even as we lean in, we press in and search Your scripture, because we know that You will not leave us guessing. You will not leave us unprepared. You have an answer. And it's with this confidence we come before You, the One who has a grand plan, the One who is, even through what is going on, refining us, bring us to the fullness of maturity, bring us to the fullness of the destiny You have for us. So God, we want to commit this time of sharing with You. Would You come and use this time of teaching to bring forth that response You are looking for, even in this hour, that many hearts would turn to You and find that true hope, that true peace that is only found in You. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Yeah, so it's really in light of where we are now in the time of timeline of God. There's one verse that I always hold on to and always take time to reflect on is 1 Chronicles chapter 12. 1 Chronicles chapter 12 verse 32 that says, of the sons of Issachar who had understanding of the times and what Israel ought to do, And it speaks of really, as believers, at any juncture of time, is really, if we engage God's heart, we will know what God is doing and therefore know how we should live. So it's really a verse that really guides my heart to engage God's heart with the question of making sense of where we are living in and how then we shall live. And if we've been putting our ears to some of the credible prophetic voices, even through the word of the Lord, we're indeed living in that historical transitional decade, even in this hour, that very prophetic timeline, like what I described just now, darkness, glory, increasing at the same time, escalating at the same time. That's the Isaiah 61:1-2 reality that we are living in right now. It's not in its fullness, but we are really accelerating towards that at all fronts, economical, social, environmental, and all this increasing pressure is causing a lot of social and relational breakdowns as well. So it's unprecedented. And talking about the decade that we are living in 2020s, it will be the most dramatic transitional decade in human history. There's a seismic shift and radical change on all fronts. And we term it the sovereign appointed time of God. Looking past at the past season, that prophetic season where God has been divinely interrupting, with that pandemic, with some of divine shifts, especially we hear of the Ukraine-Russia war that's still going on. He's just intervening and calling out to us to pay attention to what is happening, and not only disrupting us, but he's bringing us from that prophetic season to the prophetic moment, so that we can enter into what he has for us. And all these are part of God's end time narrative that's unfolding. There's another verse that I hold dear to my heart. It's Jeremiah 23, verse 20. It says, in the latter days, we will understand perfectly. In the latter days, we will understand perfectly. And what that means is that God wants to tell us he's unraveling. He says, okay, I'll tell you a bit, part one, part two. This year, I tell you part three, part four. Yeah, if I tell you all, you probably can't take it all in one shot. And it's really God's remarkable redemptive plan that's unfolding now. And even with this vortex happening in Israel, Middle East, and it's really something that we are standing at this critical juncture now. We want to lean in to engage God's heart. We want to engage God's heart, and not just engage God's heart, but we want to respond to him. And there's a book that's so relevant to us in the Bible. That's one of the key books that I will talk about today, the book of Joel. That's so relevant to us as we, have as a nation, we have exited from that 2+ years of a pandemic and entered into this season. Many call it a reprieve, a breather. Indeed, it is a breather, because now we walk on the streets, we can take out the mask, right? Yeah, and but yet, as believers, how yes, Annabelle, wear your mask. Yeah, and yet, as believer, how should we make sense of this? Because, it's actually quite, I see Keqiang always put on Facebook, aeroplane, he's looking forward to fly again. Yeah, and it's like, it's fine to really gather in big groups again and travel and take a breather. But as believers, there's something that God wants to tell us, help us learn from the past season so that in this season we can even walk worthy and to be prepared for the next season. And that's really the very essence of the book of Joel, even that God wants us to learn from this. So, it's so relevant for us because one of the things that he wants us to ask ourselves is that, what have we learned? What have you, what have I learned from the past 2 years of the global pandemic? And God's heart is always to use negative situations, things around us, to turn us to a positive response, to turn us to his heart, to even return even to finding his ways and walking in his ways. Yeah, so really, one of the things I asked myself as I look back to the past 2-3 years, was I found wanting? Was I found unaware of what's happening and was overwhelmed by the impact of the pandemic? And was I like most people, like, you know, not knowing what to do and what God is doing? Was I found wanting? And yes, if indeed, if you and I with me found wanting, it's time to press the delete button on our feelings, our panic or whatever. Press the delete button. We want to put it behind us, but we want to learn forward. We want to learn then what and how do I learn forward, and so that I can be found ready when things begin to escalate even more. And that's really the very essence of the book of Joel. God calling us to learn from the past crisis, because there is a near future crisis that's happening. And even our PM Lee Hsien Loong has been saying, yeah, there's going to be an economic crisis coming in 2 years' time. And many people are saying, even prophetic voices talking about something even worse that's coming. So pause. It was like, okay, we are in reprieve, right? And we are hearing all these things. Duh, you know, do I travel? Do I do this? Do I do that? So, but God has an answer, and we want to really lean in to engage His heart. And if we have been indeed found wanting, not having an answer, it's time that truly we want to, even in this hour, inverted commas, catch up and really learn but if we have been found faithful, steady, I believe there are many, even a remnant among us, even across our nations, that have been found steady, not found wanting. They have revelation, understanding. They respond to the Lord with, teaching the body of Christ what to do. Write on it. Write on what we have learned. Go further and deeper, even in the Lord, because the storm that is coming, it will crash on us if we don't have the depth and confidence in the Lord. And it has been said, if we look back in 2030, if we look back in 2030, we would say that what we have gone through in 2020s and now was easy. And it's really reminding us of that phrase that God gave us. Things will not get better, but we can grow stronger, we can burn hotter, we can shine brighter. But it's not automatic, right? So it's really to propel us to learn from the past crisis, even now, so that we can be prepared for what is to come, and ultimately for even the greatest crisis that God is going to bring forth, when He returns. Yeah. So the great need of the hour, even in this time, is really to engage God's heart through the crisis. Respond to Him with urgency. I was reading the book of Joel as part of my study. So everywhere I read, it's like I see a chop, urgent, on every page. Not literally, but it's like urgent, it's urgent. And I just sense that the Lord is really saying that, yeah, we want to respond to God with urgency. And yet, we do not want to be casual. We don't want to be fearful, because when crisis happens, we tend to be a bit like flustered, or we respond in fear. That's not what God is, you know, wanting us to be affected or impacted that way. Neither should we be casual in saying that it will not happen to us, it will happen to another country, it will happen to another neighbor. But really, God is really bringing forth that very need of the hour to engage His heart, because He wants to tell us something, and more than telling us something, He wants us to even walk worthy. And the appropriate response is not so much what should I do today or tomorrow or whatever, it is a response in a way commensurating to what He's saying and doing. Yeah, and more than having a response that commensurate to what God is saying and doing, we need to learn from the past as we navigate the present. We are now in the present. We want to keep looking back, keep talking about what God has been doing, so that we can prepare for the future and find confidence in God, even in a crisis. And not just find confidence in God, but be God's answer that brings hope. Because there will come a time whereby there will be no answer except in God and from the Lord. That's why one of the things I remember when God invited us to build a house of prayer. Yeah, He's saying that the house of prayer would be a place of refuge for the people, a safe place. Yeah, and that's really something that we want to lean into the Lord and really hear from Him, even through this crisis, through the book of Joel, what He's saying to us so that we can walk out this reality, be prepared, and also be that, bring forth the very refuge of God to the people around us. So, moving on to the purpose and the outline of the book of Joel, we want to engage our hearts even with this book because it has a very practical and very relevant to what practical applications and very relevant to what we are going through. And the key essence of this book is really God calling the Israelites through the book of Joel to take heed of what has happened in the past locust invasion and alerting them to a greater crisis at hand, the evil Nebuchadnezzar army, so as to prepare them for what is to come, the greatest conflict at the end of the age, until Jesus return and therefore enter into God's fullness and blessing. So that's really the key essence of the book of Joel. Pretty structured and simple. I like this kind of book because very structured, very easy to understand, but must apply. Understand really must apply. Oh no, yes. Yeah, oh yes, no, oh no. and the book emphasizes the importance of living with a keen awareness of the past. You know, as human science, the past finished, we move on. And we live life pretty much like a piecemeal. But really, the book emphasizes the importance of the keen awareness of the past, present, and the future. And it's with the purpose to awaken us, to keep making sense and seeing from God's perspective. And if we keep making sense of the present and seeing from God's perspective, we will receive the urgency. Yeah, like now, you know, seemingly okay, peacetime. But actually, we see from God's perspective, this new norm, we're not going to go back to how things are, you know, are in last few months. And not only is it going to be not business as usual as last time, but this new norm, with the commerce, is leading to even, you call it the new world order, some of the setting of the stage of what is to come. And as we make sense of what God is really doing, we will have that sense of urgency. Yeah. So again, that very prophetic season of disruptions the past few years, God getting our attention to this very prophetic moment, the decade of the 2020s, where God is telling us that the decade of the 2020s is the setting of the stage of the beginning of the final years of human history. Yes, we are not there yet, but this is at the setting of the stage. And whoa, what is the role of our believers? God wants us to know, and as we know, what is our role? And later I will really talk about that. Because, it's not just to know, but to arise to be God's prophetic people, to tell the necessity to prepare to tell, and especially to tell our children and our children's children. Yeah, so that's really the purpose of the book of Joel, to talk about, you know, to look back. God has something to tell us, to teach us, and then to live in the present. We have a role. Don't just hear, tell and share with our people, share with the young people, because they will be at the forefront when it happens at the full blast. And thirdly is not just to make sense, not just to tell, but really now prepare, respond with urgency. And when we talk about the word prepare, to break it down is really according to what God is exhorting the people of God, is to keep responding. If He's saying wait, we wait. If He's saying chong, I don't know, yeah, go, we will go. And now the call from the Lord, Isaiah 42:23, is very clear. The call to hear. The call to hear and align to God's narrative, to what He's saying, doing, even in Israel. The call to hear. And it's like when you want to go for a 10K run, 21K run, 42K run, I don't just wake up the next day, I sign up and yes, today is my marathon. And I have not trained, and I've been eating KFC every day. I confirm can't even go past the 1K. And the preparation is, I mean, in a practical sense, it's just so real, right? It's not automatic. We know, we tell, but there's a need to prepare. And God is gracious. He knows that we are weak, we try, but He's saying this season is going to be escalating. I'm going to give you more grace. I'm going to give you more wisdom. I'm going to give you more fire. And that's the very promise of God. He who began good work in us, He will bring it to completion, but we need even to cooperate with what He's doing to prepare. And truly, there is a real sense of when time is here to enter into God's fullness. Enter meaning that we are prepared to participate, are prepared to partner with Him. We're not ready. There is a reality. You just think about it. The same thing about preparing for a race, preparing to climb Mount Everest. If we don't have the skill, we don't have the gadgets, we don't have that preparation, we just can't enter, we just can't partner. There is that reality. So yeah, so that's really the key thing, that this purpose of the Book of Joel, it hits home at some of these levels that is so real as we exit the pandemic. But God is saying, make sense here. Can you see what has happened? Do you see that as a people of God, we were like left, right, center. We were like, don't know what's going on in clarity. But God bringing the indictment doesn't mean He's just, you know, condemning us. No, He's really awakening us to see our light so that we can even arise in this season to prepare so that we can even stand when the greater days of crisis come. And in the Book of Joel, there's a term called the Day of the Lord. And he preaches about this three time frames of reality with a goal to establish confidence in the Day of the Lord. Yeah, when we talk about the Day of the Lord crisis, it's not, you know, to doom and gloom, but it's really to prepare us. Because a key point is that the first crisis prepares our heart for second crisis. And together, the first and second crisis prepare us for the ultimate Day of the Lord that is yet to come. And that's really the key point of chapter 1, the locust plague. Right, that's the past day of the Lord in 600 BC. The judgment of the Lord is in the context of economic agriculture crisis. And it's a lesser day of the Lord, and it lasted for 3 to 5 years. And chapter 2, the Babylonian invasion, the near day of the Lord in 56 BC. And it's in the context of military invasion. It's also known as the bigger day of the Lord due to the greater intensity of God's judgment. It happened about 10, 20 years after the locust invasion, and it lasted for about, and it would distress Israel for 70 years. And chapter 2, verses 18 to chapter 3, verse 21, talks about the end of the age, the future day of the Lord. So it's the past day of the Lord, the near day of the Lord, the future day of the Lord, that the final, there are actually two fulfillments in the Book of Joel. One is in the Babylonian invasion, bringing forth that great distress upon Israel. But the second and final fulfillment of the prophecy of Joel, there will be so much more severe than the locust plague in Joel 1 and the Babylonian invasion in Joel 2. It will be much more severe. It will be an evil worldwide empire beyond anything the world has ever seen. Yeah. So each day of the Lord is associated with a catastrophe affecting Israel, and the final day being in the future, they call it the great and terrible day of the Lord that is yet to come. So again, things will not get better, but we can grow stronger, and God has an answer. And God has an answer that requires our rightful response. And let's turn to Joel chapter 2. Joel chapter 2, verse 11. Yeah, we've been talking about God is looking for that response. So what, you know, God, how should I, sons of Issachar, know the times we are living in and know what we ought to do. So what do we do? And Joel 2, 12 to 17 is a kind of response God is looking for. It answers the question of Joel 2. Joel 2 says, For the day of the Lord is great and very terrible. Joel 2, 11, the second part. The day of the Lord is great and very terrible. Who can endure it? Yeah, who? And the subsequent verses answers the who, the kind of people, the kind of response. And God is looking for the kind of response so that we can receive the blessing and partner with God, even to minimize the judgments, His vindictive judgments. He calls us to partner with Him, and also even as His plan unfolds through Israel, even for across the nations, even in Joel chapter 3. So this is a very simple outline of the Book of Joel. And it talks really, the key point is to help us to grasp every crisis, is to help us even to prepare for the next one And as a result, even for the ultimate day of the Lord that's yet to come. So, yeah, and there are two key realities we want to engage our heart with God. As we read the book of Joel, we want to engage God with this greed in mind. And as we engage our hearts with God, you know, God, open my eyes. Because when I read, as I shared in the beginning, oh God, we are living in crisis. Urgent, so urgent. How to live every day so urgent. And yeah, but pray, God, open my eyes. Let me see these realities. Because again, God is telling us this, not so that we get all frenzied and overwhelmed. But He has answer. And He wants to lead us even to receive what He wants to download to us. So the first reality, I call it the Joel chapter 1, verse 2 to 4 reality about things will not get better. But God has an answer. Hear, give ear, and tell. Yeah, so that's the first reality that we talk about just now. Fast forward to our time. There are two shifts that changed the world dramatically. Yeah, and the pandemic, the Ukraine-Russia crisis is still ongoing. And do we see that the world has changed? Yeah, again, keep leaning in, asking God, show me that this reality so that I can prepare the young one that is to come. Go 1 chapter 2 to 4, verse 3, tell your children about it. Let your children tell their children and their children another generation. Yeah, so it's, again, I want to quote what Mike Bickle of IHOP Kansas City said. I believe that the 2020s will be the most dramatic transitional decade in human history. And I realize this is a big statement, yet I believe it to be true. So much is changing, and the pace and the dramatic nature of the changes will continue to escalate. The world as we now know it will not exist as it is when this decade is over. The world as it is right now will not exist as it is right now when the decade is over. Yeah, and we want to engage God with this reality that, yeah, things are not going to get better. But God has an answer, and He's getting our attention. And another quote by Annabelle from our house, she was just writing a book. Yeah, it's prophetic. She was writing an article about Passover. She was saying that, and it's true, as we enter 2020, many of us have high hopes, high ideas about breakthroughs will come. Great harvest, stadium revivals, church growth. However, God blindsided all of us. And yet He Himself initiated us into His prophetic timeline, which we would have missed it if not for the pandemic. Yeah, He blindsided. We were all blindsided by what God is doing. But He Himself was the one who initiated this prophetic timeline. Yeah, initiated this COVID-19 so that we can even be paying attention that we missed it. Now we need to get back to the train of God's storyline. Yeah, the prophetic voices has been saying, get on the train of God's storyline. The train has left. And in God's mercy, He's saying now, this is one of the last chances to even catch up with God's storyline. So that's the really first key reality that we want to take heed of. Things will not get better, and talk among ourselves, the groups that we are in, and with the heart to spur us to really see things from God's perspective, and not just from how the world paints it, and worst of all, live with that existentialist mindset. Wow, see the day, travel the world, and just live for the now, but really spur one another on to really engage God's heart with this reality. So if things are not going to get better, how do I raise up my children? If things are not going to get better, but I can grow stronger, what do I do now even to engage God's heart and respond to Him? And the second key reality is the Joel 1, chapter 1 and 2 response that God is looking for. And again, it's something we are quite familiar with. We may have heard it before, crying out to the Lord. And yet, it is something that, as we read it this time around, it becomes so needful, so real. Yeah, because God is like shouting out to us. In the past, we read, it could be just, you know, but this living word has really jumped into our hearts, even in this time of crisis as we look back. Because if we turn to Joel chapter 2, verse 15, Joel chapter 1 verse 15, and yeah, it talks about the day of the Lord is at hand. It comes as a destruction from the Almighty. Yeah, this verse is like highlighted in red because when you read it, you just have to pause because it talks about God is the one who orchestrated it. It comes from Him. And another one in chapter 2, verse 25, yeah, it talks about the crawling locusts, the consuming locusts, my great army which I sent among you. And God is, and it's not just limited to the book of Joel. You read across the Bible, you know, God is just saying, I'm going to send this, I'm going to send that. And He is the one who orchestrated. It's not just about God allowing some of these things to happen, but He orchestrated. And if He orchestrated, number one, we need to fear. A good fear. Because God, He is really getting us to be serious. Number two, if God orchestrated it, He has answer. And Joel 2 has in itself that very fivefold nature of God in Joel 2 chapter 13 about He's gracious, merciful, slow to anger, great kindness, relents from doing harm. And yeah, I think one of the teaching in the house I so appreciate is that at any point in time, we don't fully understand. And many times we don't fully understand. We go back to the nature of God. He is gracious, He is merciful, slow to anger, of great kindness, relents from doing harm. And that's the key thing, that as we engage His heart, we know that even if God is the one who orchestrated this, even He says that evil Nebuchadnezzar army is the one He sent, He has an answer. Yeah, and a God who is gracious, merciful, slow to anger, of great kindness, relents from doing harm, He is calling us to partner with Him, even to bring forth that very redemptive plan, even to turn many hearts to God. So the Joel 1 and 2 response is really to respond with urgency and cry out to the Lord. Yeah, and Joel chapter 1, verse 5 to 15, Joel chapter 2, verse 12 to 17. It has the same call to cry out to Him, consecrate a fast, cry out to Him with fasting and praying, call a sacred assembly, gather the elders, gather all the inhabitants of the land with urgency, cry out to the Lord. Joel 2 talks really about turning to the Lord with wholeheartedness, not just coming for prayer meetings, but that rending of our hearts and not of our garments. Yeah, and until God brings forth that breakthrough in our heart, that very sin, that very distraction that's just causing us even to be sidetracked, He's just calling us to deal with it, rend our hearts, and putting our confidence in who He is. And again, in Joel chapter 2, talks about gathering the people, give yourself to earnest prayer. So this is really just a brief run through about the very Joel 1 and 2 reality. As we engage God's heart with now what He's happening to us here as a nation, coming out of the pandemic, in this time of reprieve, we want to engage God's heart and cry out to Him because He has given us that template. Again, I like structure, I like template. It's like, oh, is you're here? Yeah, and that's really the response. Again, as we read Book of Joel, is not limited to Israel, but God is asking His people for a very specific response. There are two other realities that can be found in the Book of Joel, which I will not go into details. But really, one is the reality of the judgment of God. Yeah, and really something that we want to put our heart to engage God about His judgments. And when we talk about God's judgment, it's not just, that vindictive judgment. That's only one aspect. There are five aspects. The discipline, when God refines us. The discipline aspect. The vindictive aspect, whereby He judges sins and that men face our consequences, death, punishment, etc. There's a redemptive kind of judgment whereby God is shaking so that we can be awakened and we can turn to Him. And there's a justice kind of judgment whereby God makes all things, wrong things right. Sickness, He heals. Poor, He blesses them. Justice of God. And last but not least, the very favor of God. When we talk about great judgment, the judgment seat of the Lord, we always think of that fear of the day. We should fear if we have not been on God's side. But if we have been walking with the Lord, we look forward to that day because on the day He's going to give us rewards. That's what it talks about, the favor. Judgment is about favor. So yeah, we want to engage our hearts with some of these realities in the book of Joel. And the last reality is really about the reality of the valley of decision. There are two valleys in the book of Joel. I think Joel chapter 3, one is Valley of Jehoshaphat, where there will be the Lord will gather nations, the nations who have even come against His people, His chosen people. He's going to bring forth that great judgment. But there's another valley in chapter 3, verse 14, that talks about the valley of decision. I just want to touch very quickly on that because every decision we make today will bring us closer to God or further away from God. And it's so true. Yeah, and there'll be the Bible don't call it a great valley. It's a valley of decision whereby that's it, you know, that day. And the reality is that will we be able to make that right decision that day? It's a cumulative effect of today. Today, like Hebrews 3 or 4, he talked about today, if we hear my voice, do not harden your heart. It's really about every day's decision, the valley of decision in our heart that will bring us closer to God or further away from God. So that's really that reality. We want to engage God's heart even as we read the book of Joel. Yeah. So in the wake of God's judgment, just how I talk about we have a role. We have a role before God and we have a role before men. And our role before God is really to come before Him as intercessors who fast and pray. We have received from Him. We want to stand in the gap to minimize judgments that can be minimized. Joel 2 verse 13, 14 talks about that. And for those that He will not minimize, we pray that He will cause that redemptive birth out of it. Because, you know, God's heart is for the harvest. So it's really our role before God to come before Him with fasting, praying, rooted in lifestyle, wholeheartedness will be the key. And there's also a role before men. And that is to arise, the very necessity to tell, to share, to arise as voices that will make sense of what is happening. So that's really something that, you know, Book of Joel is like an instruction manual, you know, that will give us direction to even prepare the bride of Christ for such a time as this. Yeah, because that's really God's heart. So I'll just end by just, engage our hearts with these realities as we respond to the Lord, to what He's saying and doing to us now, as we exit an unprecedented, you know, global pandemic that has impacted all of us. But there is something that we need even to engage God's heart. And one of the things that I realize is that many of us, including myself, there are two primary reasons why we do not respond to God even as we know what He requires. I mean, Book of Joel, if I can understand, many of us, I'm sure all of us can understand, it's very structured, it's very clear. And I ask myself, if it's so clear, why, if it's so clear that this is what God requires, why am I not responding with urgency? And one of the key problems with the body of Christ, including myself, is that we're not seeing the seriousness of the times. Yeah, be it due to our own interpretation, justifying things away, it will not happen to us. And worse is that we are already a bit like the world already, you know. We just like, oh no, it's not. We begin to reject things of God. And we are very casual and hoping for the best. Yeah. And another reason why we know all these things that God responds, come with prayer and fasting, come with urgency, is that we don't fully embrace that God's answer. I'm saying this with a lot of I don't know what you call it. Yeah, I'm still repenting. I say, God, I don't pray because I don't think prayer works. Yeah, God, bring conviction to my heart. Yeah, and we're not responding as urgently because we don't embrace that God's answer for us to respond with wholeheartedness in sacred assembly is the answer. Yeah. So it's time, really, a call out to myself, to us, to all of us, to be honest with God concerning our heart response. Yeah. And Joel 2 lifestyle is so clear. It's a God's preemptive strike. in the greatest conflict, in the face of the greatest conflict at the end of the age, is a preemptive strike. And God is saying, listen, press in, engage. And it's also a prescription for all believers to prepare ourselves to stand in the coming storms. So, the last thought that I'll leave with us is that, and that's also my own meditation. Today, we have that moment of conviction. We say, yes, God, I will do this. I come for prayer sessions. I engage in holy conversations. Then the next day, it evaporates. Yeah, and the very exhortation is really to go beyond the initial stirring of a heart. Go beyond the 三分钟热度, which yeah, many of us are prone to. Go beyond the initial response to a sustained engagement with God's heart. It is so needed now, both now and future, to respond with urgency, because now is a time of persevering in the time of intensity. Yeah. And make the most of the lessons we have learned. Again, God is really using the past crisis to teach us so that He wants us to be prepared for what is to come. So that we can receive, I used to say that, so that God can release. No, God will release. He will release. This is His plan. But He wants us to be prepared so that we can receive. We can partner with Him. So, yeah. So, may we learn from the past as we navigate the present. May we prepare even now for the future so that we can find confidence, not only find confidence in the Lord, but also to help others even to stand in the greatest storm to come, where the answer is only found in the Lord. Amen. Let's just close with a word of prayer. God, we want to thank you for your long suffering towards us. You keep calling us again and again to hear what you're saying. For truly the day of the Lord is at hand. We are asking for the trembling in our hearts that will cause our hearts to respond even to you, to lean into you, to cry out to you, to align to you. God, we say your call is so clear. Would you yourself come and quicken our hearts even to respond to you with urgency? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.